In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that knowing the time is near, that it is now high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. So says the Apostle, in a fitting selection before the beginning of Great Lent. What does it mean? Our salvation being nearer than when we believed. The time of Great Lent is a time to especially draw near to God. The time of Great Lent is a time to be more focused on spiritual things than other times of the year. One could say, well, we should be focused on spiritual things all of the time. Well, that's unfortunately not our nature. So the church knows that we can, for a period of time, be very focused on spiritual things. Struggle to learn with expectation of getting better so that our salvation would be nearer to us than when we first believed. And every Great Lent should be like this. In fact, really, every day should be like this. But especially during Great Lent, this is the time to be gird yourself to struggle in fasting, in prayer, in becoming good. It's unfortunate, I really think, that we call Great Lent the Great Fast, as if fasting was the center of it. Fasting is to facilitate what we must do as Christians. That is to become good. The Apostle says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Night, a time of darkness. A time when you cannot see things. A time of sleep. You're not doing anything. Inactivity. Night has always been associated with sin. And with fruitlessness. With danger. The night is far spent. We spend a lot of time in the night, don't we? If you're honest with yourself, you know you do. The time you waste, the things you do and don't do, the things you say, the things you think, the kind of person you are, a lot of time in the night. The night is far spent. You've been in the night a long time. The night is only a portion of the day, and yet, for the person who does not live in a spiritual way, he is in the night even in the midst of the day. So, the day is at hand for us. This is a time to become better. To become a better person. What is it that entangles you? Is it laziness? Is it lust? Is it anger? Is it lack of prayer? Not fasting? Boredom? Depression? Or just an overall lack of being a spiritual person, sort of going from one moment to the next without being in Christ at all those moments. You should expect to get better. You should expect to put off the night, put on the day. And he says, cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. What is this armor of light? Well, basically, it's the fruits of the Spirit, as the Apostle described in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the armor of light. The armor of light is to internally become good, not externally, internally. If you are internally good, then others will see your good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. But many people look externally good, but inside they are, as the Lord said, whited sepulchres, full of bones and all kinds of uncleanness. We are to become good. Lent is a time to especially focus on this. And the armor of light is not that we fast every day, and not that we read from the Bible every day, if we haven't been doing it, and not that we attend more services. The armor of light is that you become morally good. You become like our Savior. That's the point of our life. Now, if you do not fast, you won't be able to become good. If you don't pray, you won't be able to become good. If you don't read the Scriptures, you won't be able to become good. But they are not what make you good. They are not the measure. The measure is Christ. And during Lent, we should in some way become more like Christ. So the Apostle says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. In other words, he's just covering some sins, by no means an inclusive list, all-inclusive list. This is the time for you to become morally better. Do you have a problem with becoming angry with your spouse? This is a time to become better. Do you have a time? Do you have a problem with being impatient with your children? This is the time to become better. Are you lazy in prayer? This is the time to be less lazy. Anything that you do or don't do should be changed if they are not according to the will of God. Change during Great Lent. Now, it can be hard. Great Lent gets tiring. Absolutely. But start with vigor and start with enthusiasm. Expecting something to be better. Expecting you to become better. That's the whole point. And God will help you. And how should you begin? Exactly as the Apostle says. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound like what we sing? As many as have been baptized in Christ have put on Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Become like Him. And make no provision for the flesh. This is why fasting is so incredibly important. And also the other disciplines of prayer, which when you're tired or when you don't feel like it, etc. Because you're not making provision for the flesh. The flesh is an unruly beast that will take over if you let it. The flesh is, shall we say, like a lion cub. If you do not tame the lion cub when it is small, when it gets big, it is not possible to tame it. So you must not make provision for your flesh. This is why we fast. There's no legalistic reason whatsoever for our fasting. It is because it is necessary for our salvation. It is because our nature needs it. And if you have not fasted strictly in the past, then you don't understand yet how effective it is. Not that you would read labels and say, whey is the 18th ingredient of this bread, I won't have it. That's not fasting. That's reading. Make no provision for your flesh. Eat carefully. Eat prudently. Eat simply. And pray. And you will find marvelous things happen. Oh, by the way, some unmarvelous things too. Because when you fast and when you pray, God will answer the prayers that are in the prayer book. If you're praying those prayers about humbling you and other things. The only way to become humble is to be humbled. The only way to stop sinning is to know what you're doing wrong so that you can stop doing it with God helping you. So, sometimes ugly stuff comes out too during Great Lent. In fact, it should. But if you are girded about with fasting and with prayer, then you will be able to handle these things. Whereas before, they happened and maybe you didn't even know that you were that kind of person. Many of our sins we're not even aware of. But during Great Lent, perhaps just a little bit will become more aware. So, if we're not putting on provision for the flesh, what about other people that aren't fasting so well? What about other people that they don't seem to be changing so much? The Apostle has a word for us. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. But not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another that he who is weak eateth only herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? You fast. Don't worry about everybody else. I, as a priest, have to worry about people fasting, to counsel them according to their abilities to fast, to help them. But it's not an enviable job, so you don't have to do it. Just fast and pray and don't judge. And then immediately after the epistle, then we read the gospel, right? And the gospel dovetails perfectly with what the apostle says about who art thou that judgest another man's servant. Because the first thing the Lord says is, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. When you judge others, you have not forgiven them. I don't care if it's a stranger, if it's someone in your family, a friend, a co-worker, an enemy. You judge someone, even if they have not overtly wronged you, you have not forgiven them. This is an even stronger statement than in the Our Father. Because there the Lord counsels us to say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Speaking of people that have sinned against us. Well, actually, we are to forgive people who have not sinned against us. We are to forgive everybody. And it is so easy to judge. Every single one of us judges every day. And if you look carefully, you see this is true. But we must forgive. Because forgiveness opens up the bowels of God's mercy for us and for them. And makes us able to hold on to the mercy of God. You know, the Lord says that He causes the rain to fall on the evil and the good. But the evil don't change. And yet, they have the rain too. Why not? Because the rain is no effect to them. Because they don't hold on to the rain. We must hold on to this rain. It's all around us. And we're so unaware of the grace of God in everything that happens in our life. We would become more aware if we forgive. In fact, a man who totally forgives is totally aware of the mercy of God. So now the Lord gives us advice about fasting. When you fast, be not as hypocrites of sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they might appear to man to fast. This was very typical in the environment he was in. The Jewish leaders would fast and they would just, you know, show that they were, oh, it's so tired, I'm so tired and I'm fasting so well. And no. But this is not only about how your face looks. This is about how you act. So many people say so many times, oh, fasting, it's so hard. The great fast is so hard. It's so long. That's a terrible attitude. The fast isn't hard. Sin is hard. Disease is hard. Being broken is hard. All those things are hard. Fasting is what helps us to be healed. How can it be hard? You see, the things that you are make fasting seem hard to you because fasting is helping you to be healed of those things. And yet we think fasting is hard. Don't think that. Embrace the fast. To whatever ability you have to fast, embrace it. If you can fast well, glory be to God. If you fast not so well, then at least you have fasted. And God will help you. But if a person says, oh, it's hard. There are even places now, even bishops, that give advice. Oh, you know, just fast the first week of the fast. And the last week. Because in this day and age, it's too difficult to fast all the time. That's not true. In this day and age, just like in the olden day and age, it was too difficult to be a sinner. Because being a sinner is hard and painful. That's what we're trying to stop being. And fasting will help us. And prayer will help us. And putting on the armor of light, becoming more spiritual, will help us. This is the point of the fast. To focus. To struggle. And it begins with forgiveness. All of God's grace entering into the soul begins with forgiveness. If you do not forgive, it's as if you have an impenetrable wall. And God's grace will not come into you if you do not forgive. And it's not just forgiving people that have wronged you. It's forgiving people that are foolish and do dumb stuff and are irritating. Those people too. Not just people that have directly wronged you. It's a pretty high calling. It's extremely difficult because we're so accustomed, we're so addicted to judging. We do it as often as we breathe. But let's try to do it less this fast. Not all at once. You can't become holy tomorrow. In 40 days, you're not going to be praying in midair as St. Mary of Egypt did. But perhaps praying a little bit more lightly. Perhaps praying with more attention. Perhaps a little bit more aware of your sins. And perhaps a little bit more like Christ. This is what must happen during Great Lent, or else it's just more nighttime, more darkness. You'll just be a hungry person in the dark if you do not struggle spiritually during Great Lent. And so, why do we do all this? To lay up treasure in heaven. The Lord says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now here's something that I've learned about treasure. We often don't know what good treasure is. We look at fool's gold and think that it is good. It's not gold. It's just shiny rock. So much that's in our life, we value that we should not value. And we show this by the things we do, the things we say, by the priorities we have. If you want to lay up true treasure for yourself, you have to know what true treasure is. It's not necessarily an easy thing to know, because sin blinds us to what is true. So, if you want to be able to lay up for yourselves treasure, you need to become good enough to recognize what is good. And this is the point of the fast. This is the point of all spiritual exercises. To become good. And the good man recognizes good. A person who's not good does not recognize good. In fact, he even thinks of it as evil. Or undesirable. Unpalatable. Not for him. So, during this fast, let's learn about treasure. Let's make no provision for our flesh to the extent of our abilities. And every one of you that I know should be talking to me about fasting. Make no provision for the flesh. Fast. Pray. Pray more than you usually do. And struggle against your passions. And be open to God revealing to you what is wrong so that it can become right. May God help us to lay up treasures for ourselves. To know what treasure is first. And then to lay it up for ourselves in heaven. Amen.